The Jayaka Samhita, one of the gems of the Pancharatra Agama, one of the three sacred, particularly sacred texts of the Pancharatra tradition. Today I'm very pleased indeed that we have Professor Narasimhachari here, who's an expert in Sri Vaishnavism and Vaishnava traditions generally, and indeed in the Pancharatra and the Agama literature. And we thought we'd have a talk about the text in a... I would say a few words, and Professor Narasimhachari will say a few words, and I will say a few words again. We'll have a sort of dialogue about the text, and then open it up to a general discussion about the text itself. I think to begin, first of all, Professor Narasimhachari will give an introduction to Agama literature generally, and the Vaishnava Sanghitas in particular, and the extent of the Pancharatra literature, and then he'll go on to speak about the text itself that we're concerned with today. Then I'll go on and talk about the cosmology and the practice within the text, and he'll take up the philosophy of the text after that. So, we'll see how it goes. We'll speak for about 45 to 50 minutes between us, and then open the class up for a general discussion and general debate and questions. So to begin with then, I'd like to hand it over to Professor Narasimhachari to introduce Agama literature generally.
Thank you, Professor Gavin, for your kind words of introduction, and welcome to all of you. As is my wont, I will chant a few verses in Sanskrit by way of welcome. First is a prayer. This verse is from Marichi's Vimanarchana Kalpa, a Vaikhanasa text, which is being followed for worship on the Tirumalai hills, where Lord Venkateswara is the presiding deity. Haimurdhapundram Ajahanmakutam Sunasam Mandasmitam Makarakundala Manjugandam Bimbadharam Bahula Dirgha Gripa Kataksham Sri Venkatesha Mukham Atmanisannidhattam. Description of the Lord Venkateswara. Haima Urdhapundram is Urdhapundra. The upper mask is made of Haima. Haima is a kind of camphor. There is some story behind it. Ajahanmakutam, a crown made to fit exactly the head. Sunasam is an aquiline nose. Mandasmitam, a gentle smile. Makarakundala Manjugandam, beautiful cheeks where the earrings get reflected in the lustrous of the diamond studded therein. Bimbadharam, a lower red lip. Bahula Dirgha Kripagataksham, his glances go far, because though you stand somewhere in the end, you'll have a beautiful darshan of the Lord. His glances are there on you. Sri Venkatesha Mukham Atmanisannidhattam, may this beautiful face of Lord Venkateswara be forever be enshrined in my heart. That's a prayer. Now I'm reading another verse from Vedanta Deshika's Sharanagati Deepika. He was an expert in the Pancharatra tradition. He wrote what is called Pancharatra Raksha. Aham Kshantavyaha Janaha Yataha Samskutvasha Yajyavi Vaktum Prabhavam Kintatra Vijamanaha Bahavaha Samskutum Najani Yuhiti Bhitya Anglavasha Yavhiti Bahusha Kshantavyayan Janaha Tvam Pancharatrika Nayena Prithak Vidhena Vaikhanasena Chapatha Niyatadhikaraha Samujnya Visesha Niyamena Samarchayantaha Pritya Nayanti Palavanti Dinani Dhanyaha. Vedanta Deshika says, O Lord, the fortunate ones spend their days happily by worshipping you, either by the Pancharatra method of worship or by the Vaikhanasa system. The question is, the difference is only in the nomenclature, he says. Samujnya Visesha Niyamena. This point will be clear in the course of our paper. Now, these are the two verses I have taken from outside. Now, my own verses. Swagatam, swagatam, tubhyam, sangatebhyaha, atra sampratam, jayakhya samhita tattva, jijnyasubhyaha visheshataha. Those who have come here to listen to a talk on jijnyasubhis, jayakhya samhita, I am offering a very hearty welcome. Narayanaha Paramapurushayeva Sakshat Sri Pancharatra Kriti Prithitam Dharanyam. It is quite well known that Lord Narayana himself is the author of the Pancharatra text. శ్రీమజ్జయాఖ్యం అథ సాత్వత పౌష్కరేతే రత్నత్రయం సువిదితం నను సంప్రదాయే. అకార్డింగ్ టు అవర్ ట్రెడిషన్ ది జయాఖ్య సంహిత అబౌట్ విచ్ యూఆర్ హ్యావింగ్ ది సెమినార్ నౌ అండ్ దెన్ ది సాత్వ సంహిత అండ్ ది పౌష్కర సంహిత దీస్ ఆర్ ది రత్నత్రయ ది త్రీ జెమ్స్ ఆర్ జ్యువెల్స్ ది ట్రెడిషన్. పరమపురుష నామ్నా విశ్వవిఖ్యాతిమంతః పరమకరుణయాతే స్వామినః సంగతాశ్చ. ఐఎమ్ వెరీ హ్యాపీ దట్ స్వామి కుడ్ కమ్ హియర్. హీస్ వెరీ గ్రేట్ స్కాలర్ ఇన్ హీ గాట్ హిస్ విద్యావారిధి రైట్ పిహెచ్డి ఆన్ ది పాంచరాత్ర ట్రెడిషన్ అండ్ హిస్ థీసిస్ ఇస్ ఇన్ సాంస్క్రిట్. అనితర సులభే శ్రీ పంచరాత్రే నదీష్ణాః హిస్ మాస్టర్ దిస్ వండర్ఫుల్ లిటరేచర్ కాల్డ్ పంచరాత్ర. వినయ మధుర వాచ స్వాగతీ కుర్మహేతాన్. ఐ ఆఫర్ మై హంబుల్ ఒబీసన్స్ టు దెమ్ అండ్ దెన్ వెల్కమ్. విద్యార్థినశ్చ విబుధాః నిరవధ్య బోధాః ఆచార్య శిష్య నికరాః సముపాగతాయే. దోస్ హూ కమ్ హియర్ ఇన్ లార్జ్ నంబర్స్ తేభ్యః ప్రమోద వివశాః వయం ఆమనామః సుస్వాగతోక్తిం ఇహ సభ్య మహాశయేభ్యః. All of you, I offer very hearty welcome. Now I have prepared it as a kind of paper so that it can be preserved for posterity. The word agama, there is no perhaps equivalent in English. It may be translated according to my guru Dr. V. Raghavan as religious literature, the word agama. There has been a tendency among scholars to decry religion and say that philosophy is better than religion. They want to give prominence to philosophy in the writings. But denouncing religion altogether is not conducive to human progress. Spiritual progress, I mean. In the words of Swami Vivekananda, take away religion from human society, what remains is a forest of brutes. Take religion from human society, and what remains is a forest of brutes, says Swami Vivekananda. Dharmena hi naha, pashubhihi samanaha is a very famous Sanskrit saying. Those who don't have dharma, the word dharma we take as religion, are equal to brutes. Religion without philosophy, I admit this must be a happy blend of these two. Religion without philosophy is a branch without fruit. And philosophy without religion is a tree without fruit. Love for God animates the entire literature of the Hindus, starting from the Vedas down to the Itihasas and Puranas. Those who performed Vedic rituals naturally were in a more advantageous position than others, since they could visualize the form of God they adored in the form of mantras. There is no evidence in the Vedic literature to show any traces of image worship, although the description of gods and goddesses approximate to their personification. It goes without saying that the feeling of love for God, which is called bhakti in later literature, underlies the entire Vedic literature. The agamas have given a more practical and concrete shape for this love of God by highlighting the importance of worshipping images. Ramayana and the Mahabharata, of course, and Puranas speak of domestic shrines and temples. It is to satisfy the yearnings of those who are not qualified to study the Vedas and practice the rituals that the agamas were brought into being. The agamas have an independent development of theory and practice and should be taken as a system of philosophy and religion based on the Vedas. The theoretical side represents the continuation of the results of philosophical inquiries which the Vedas deal with. The controversies and discussions which mark these inquiries are left out in the agamas. Greater attention is paid here to the cultural discipline which is sought to be inculcated through practical religion. I am quoting Dr. Sanjukta Gupta, who unfortunately could not come here. She says in her Lakshmi Tantra introduction, a deeper insight into the historical development of the Vaishnava sects, into the ritual, occultism and building of temples and images can only be obtained from the scientific study of the ancient Pancharatra texts which formulate the relevant basic concepts. Now, the word Agama may be translated, as I said earlier, as a religious text. It is derived from the root gam, gach to go, with the prefix a, meaning that which has come down. So this suggests that they are based upon the Vedic literature themselves. I mean, it may also mean derived from other places, since a means motion towards a particular place from a different one. It may mean moving mentally towards an object that is to be attained. In this interpretation, it conveys the same meaning as the word Veda. Veda yatiti Veda, that which makes you know things is Veda. Further, since the preposition a conveys the sense of motion in the reverse direction, like gachati goes but agachati comes back, the word agama may also mean handing down knowledge from several traditions. The agamas also are known as tantras. For example, Lakshmi Tantra. This word can be derived from tan, to spread, with the unadi suffix shtran added to it. Sarvadhatu bhyaha shtran, says the Unadi Sutra. This word is split as tan and tra, meaning tan vistare, spreading, and then tra, tranam, saving. Thus, Tantra is that text which expounds specific knowledge which saves the aspirant who follows it from bondage. I am quoting a verse from the Kamika Agama, Tanoti Vipulan Arthan, Tantra Mantra Samanvitan, Tranam cha kurute yasmat, tantram iti abhidhiyate. The agamas are also known as samhitas. You know, the Vedic samhitas are quite well known. So the word samhita itself makes us infer that there is an attempt on the part of those who promulgated the agamas to link them to the Vedic literature. The word samhita therefore points out that it is akin to the Vedas, which have of course their own samhita classification. Now, coming to the subject matter, the agamas in general, there may be a kind of division called Jnanapada, Kriyapada, Charyapada, and Yogapada. Of course, we may not find all these classifications in all the agamas, but most of them follow this tradition. Jnanapada, Jnana is knowledge. Here, we come across a knowledge of man about himself and God and the relationship, and more particularly regarding the creation of the universe as to how it has come into existence. This is where the kind of sargas comes, the Mishra, or Shuddha, or Brahma. Kriyapada deals with the A to Z of building the temples, preparing images, and their installation. We call it Karshanadi Pratishthantam. Karshan, tilling the ground, where to build the temple and all. Pratishtha, installation of the images. The whole thing is taken care of in the Kriyapada. And then the Charyapada occupies a note for the content of many of the agamas. They deal with, very elaborately, the method of conducting rituals and festivals, utsavas they are called, in temples. We have a few names like Mahotsava, Brahmotsava, which is very long, maybe about 12 days, 13 days, 14 days, 15 days festival. Pavitrotsava, Adhyayanotsava, and the like. You may perhaps be interested to know that in the temple of Lord Venkateswara at Tirupati or Tirumala, they have to perform 433 festivals in the span of 365 days. Yogapada deals with practicing yoga following the Yoga Sutra of Patanjali. Various steps are taken here to clean up the body and the mind first, which Bhuta Shuddhi, which Professor Gavin is going to speak about, which prepares the ground for carrying out worship both within and without. And the agamas can be classified as Shaiva, Vaishnava, Shakta, Ganapatya, Kaumara also. Professor Jalavilu was working on Kumara Agama. He came to Madras and then he took my assistance in reading the Sanskrit text. It's called Kaumara Tantra. Pashupata Shaiva. Among the Shaivas, we have got Pashupatas and then Shaiva Siddhantins and the Kashmir Shaivism. There are a number of texts which are quite well known, and some of the agamas have not come down to us, though names are available in the list traditionally handed down. And in Shakta agamas, we have Mahanirvana, then Maharudrayamala, Pranatoshini, some of the important names there. Now we are primarily concerned with the Vaishnava Agamas. So there is a twofold classification called the Vaikhanasa and the Pancharatra. What is Vaikhanasa? The system which owes its origin from the aphorisms composed by sage Vikhanas. Vikhan, Visheshena Khananati Vikhanaha. One who has dug deep into the meaning of the Vedas, Khan to dig, is called Vikhanas. Okay? He wrote some aphorisms which were expanded into various works by his four important disciples, Atri, Bhrigu, Marichi, and Kashyapa. Atri wrote four works, Bhrigu 13 works, Marichi wrote 8 works, and Kashyapa 3 works. A number of names are available to us, like Kriyadhikara of Bhrigu, Kashyapa's Jnana Kanda, Marichi's Vimanachana Kalpa, from which I have quoted the opening verse today, and then Atri's Samurta Archana Adhikara. There are about 60 works, out of which only, unfortunately, 17 are available in print, and then many of them are in fragments. About 15 agamas are, I think, available in print so far. The latest figure is not known to me because I think a few scholars from France have published a few more editions, many agamas, belonging to the Vaikhanasa tradition. And what are the important features of this Vaishnava branch, particularly called Vaikhanasa? Here, in the temples, which are run according to this tradition, worship is done exclusively with Vedic mantras. Mantras are of two types, Vaidika and then Avaidika. We don't use the word Avaidika, but Tantrika mantras. Some mantras have been specially designed for the weapons of the Lord. They are not to be found in the Vedas. So, Vaikhanasas use only Vedic mantras, like Purusha Sukta. Very few mudras are used. Mudra means hand gesture, like the Surabhi mudra and the Ahvana mudra, not many. And how to recognize a temple when you come to South India? You don't know which temple follows which tradition, because I've got a printout here. Which gives a list of the temples which follow these traditions. Vaikhanasa, some are Vaikhanasa temples, some are Pancharatra temples. And I think Pancharatra temples are more in number than those which are Vaikhanasa in character. How to identify the Vaikhanasa temple? How to distinguish it from the Pancharatra temple? There are a few external indications which I want to point out here. I have already said that there they follow only the Vedic mantras and then fewer hand gestures called mudras. The temple can be recognized with the Balipita first. It is what is called a raised slab which is circular in shape called Balipita, where rice is being offered for birds like crows or whatever comes there. You will find the Balipita first, behind which you find the Dhvajastambha, the flagstaff, and behind which there is a small shrine for Garuda. This is the order in which a Vaikhanasa temple is built. Balipita comes first, then behind it we have the Dhvajastambha. If you go to the temple of Lord Venkateswara Tirupati, you can notice this. So, behind which comes the shrine of Garuda, which is very small, of course, with the hands folded like this, because it will be just facing the Lord directly. But in the Pancharatra temple, you find the Dhvajastambha comes first, behind which there is the Balipita, and behind which there is the Garuda Sannidhi. This is the order in which the Pancharatra temple is built. And again, in the Vaikhanasa temple, there is no room for the images of the so-called Alvars, the mystic saints who sang the Divya Prabandha in Tamil, or even the Acharyas, like Ramanuja or Vedanta Deshika. Exceptions, of course, are there. In the Tirupati temple, there is a separate shrine for Ramanuja because it seems, according to tradition, that Ramanuja planted the first pillar there for raising the temple for Lord Venkateswara. So there is a shrine for Ramanuja there in the Tirupati temple. Normally, we won't find the images of Alvars, who are 12 in number, or the Acharyas, starting from Nathamuni, because the Vaishnava tradition speaks of Nathamuni first, and then Yamunacharya, and then Ramanuja, like that there is a tradition. You don't find their images in the Vaikanasa temples, but they are found in the Pancharatra temples. There is a major difference. And of course, the songs of Divya Prabandha, the Tamil mystic saints, are not chanted in the Vaikanasa temple. Exceptions are there, of course. But Tirupavai of Andar, a lady mystic saint, that is being chanted even now in the Sri Vaishnava temples, which belong to this tradition. So there is an exception. And here, the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, is said to evolve. It's called evolution, called Vyuha theory. We don't use the word Vyuha in the Vaikanasa tradition. The Lord emerges or emanates himself as Purusha. Then comes the word Satya. Purusha becomes Satya. He is also sometimes called Nitya. And then from whom comes Achyuta, from whom Aniruddha comes into existence. Five different aspects of the Lord are there mentioned. These are the names which are very popular in the Vaikanasa tradition. Now I have come to the Pancharatra. The word Pancharatra itself is very difficult to define. There are about 10 different definitions given, and there is no final word on that. Pancharatra, five nights. It seems Lord Vishnu taught the principles of worshipping himself to five sages in five different nights, and hence the name Pancharatra. That is one interpretation. The word Ratra means darkness. Ratra is night. Night means darkness. Five important branches of knowledge, like Mimamsa and Nyaya, they are all thrown into oblivion. They become dark when compared to Pancharatra. That is why the name Pancharatra. There are very fanciful interpretations. We don't know what is right and what is wrong. According to Dr. F. O. Schrader, who wrote a very valuable work called The Introduction to Pancharatra and Dehirbhuti Samhita, he says that this system perhaps derives its name from the fact that here in Pancharatra we accept five vyuhas. There are five in number. Vasudeva, the Paravasudeva, Sankarsana. Paravasudeva, then Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. There are five in number. That is why the system derives its name as Pancharatra. This is the opinion of Dr. F. O. Schrader. But there is also another important interpretation. Every Orthodox Sri Vaishnava who belongs to this tradition must divide his day into five units. It's called Panchakala Prakriya. Panchakala, divide the time from 4:30 in the morning, 4:30 to 9, the one unit. So 9 to 12 or up to 1 or 2, there is another unit. Then 2 to 4 or 5, there is another unit. And then remaining part is another unit. You divide your time into five units and then worship the Lord accordingly. That is assisted. They are called Abhigamana, Upadana, Ijya, Swadhyaya and Yoga. Abhigamana, approaching the Lord with Suprabhata Kirtana, Nagara Sankirtana, whatever you have. Kausalya, Supraja, Rama, Purva, Sandhya, Pravartate, Uttishtha, Narasar, Dula, Kartavyam, Deva, Mahanikam. This is the opening verse of all the Suprabhatas in our country. This is the opening sloka, actually because it is from Ramayana. Vishwamitra woke up Rama saying this, "Oh, my dear son, get up." So this has become the opening verse of all the Suprabhata Sevas in our country. So this is called Abhigamana. Upadana means collecting articles of worship like flower and fruit and keeping everything ready for the puja. That is the second step. Abhigamana, Upadana, then comes Ijya, worship proper. It includes even offering food to the Lord called Naivedya, and then the person himself will partake of the prasad that is given there. That is taken. So this is called the Swadhyaya, Ijya section. Then comes Swadhyaya, means studying the scriptures and also expounding them to disciples. That takes a lot of time. Then comes Swadhyaya Yoga. At the end, the sadhaka, the archaka, the acharya must meditate upon the Lord. And then there is the end of the day. So there are the five units. They are called Panchakala. Panchakala prakriya is very important. That's perhaps the reason why this work is, this tradition is known as Pancharatra tradition. And we have to point out very quickly though, because I wish to hand over the Pancharatra is said to be Vedic in character. There's some people. But Shankara has objected to the authority of Pancharatra in his Brahma Sutra Bhashya. Second Adhyaya, second Pada, aphorisms 42 to 45. There are four aphorisms called the Utpatti Asambhavat నచ కర్తుః కరణం విజ్ఞానాది భావేవ తదప్రతిషేధః విప్రతిషేధాచ్చ. దీస్ ఆర్ ది ఫోర్ ఎఫార్జమ్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ వెరీ క్రూషియల్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ది శ్రీ వైష్ణవాస్. శంకర ఫర్ ది ఫస్ట్ టైం ఈ డ్రాస్టికలీ క్రిటిసైజ్ ది పాంచరత్న ట్రెడిషన్. ది ఫస్ట్ టూ ఎఫార్జమ్స్ హీ టేక్స్ ది ప్రైమా ఫేసీ వ్యూ ఆర్ పూర్వపక్ష, ది లెటర్ టు సిద్ధాంత. హీ సేస్ పాంచరాత్ర ఇట్ కెనాట్ బి వ్యాలిడ్. Of course, I have great regard for Lord Vishnu and his manifestations, Shankara says. I honor the tradition, but philosophically speaking, it is not a very sound system. Because there are statements here to say that the jiva is born. Mind comes from the jiva. What nonsense is this, Shankara? Because jiva is not born at all. Everybody knows. Jivasya utpatihi kadam vasyat. Jiva, yeah, anadihi nityaha iti vedaihi ghushyamanatva. So there are certain objections like that. So because Shankaracharya himself is head, so everybody, yes, Mr. Shankara must be right. More or less a contemporary, maybe a senior contemporary, maybe a predecessor of his was Kumarila Bhatta, the great Mimamsaka, who in his Tantra Vartika has bracketed the Pancharatrams with the non-Vedic followers like Buddhists and Jains. Nirgrantha, he says. So people began to doubt the validity of the Pancharatra tradition. It is then Yamunacharya came into the picture. Yamuna was the Paramaguru, the grand teacher of great Ramanuja. He wrote his monumental work Agam Pramanya, where he defended the validity of the Pancharatra. He says Pancharatra is valid because it was spoken by Lord Krishna himself. Nardaha Ashravayatu Munin Narayana Mukha Udgitam. The Mahabharata speaks very eloquently about the great authenticity of the Pancharatra tradition because it's come directly from the mouth of Lord Krishna or Vishnu. Okay? Then why do you doubt its authenticity? If you don't accept this session, Yamuna says towards the end of the text, well, there was what is called Ekayana Veda. Ekayana, which was the root of all the Vedic literature. Ekayana can perhaps be affiliated to what is called Shukla Yajurveda. So those who follow this are also Vaidikas in character. Two interpretations Yamuna has given and then tried to justify. But even then, the doubts were not altogether clear, and then many people began to raise doubts, and then that is why Vedantesika had to write his Pancharatra Raksha. Tantra Shuddha by Bhattarka Vedottama. Still, the debate is going on in some circles. Well, that is the question about the authenticity of the Pancharatra text. I'm very happy that many important works are coming out through Akshardham, the Swaminarayana tradition. They have brought out a beautiful descriptive catalogue of all the Pancharatra Agamas available, unpublished so far. And Narada Pancharatra has been published. Sankarsha Samhita, which I reviewed for the Hindu newspaper. So they are doing wonderful work. And here in the Pancharatra, as I said earlier, worship is carried on using both Vedic mantras as well as Tantrika mantras. And here we have the images of the Alvas and then Acharyas also worship. It is against this background that we come to the text proper on hand, namely Jayakhi Samhita. Jaya, victorious. What is the significance of the name? We have in the first Patala itself, this work is in 4,500 verses divided into 33 chapters called Patalas. This is supposed to be one of the three jewels of the Pancharatra tradition, the other two being Satvata and Paushkara. The Satva Samhita is explained in greater detail by another work called Ishvara Samhita, which is being followed for worship at Melkote in Karnataka. The Paushkara Samhita has its own commentary, more or less, another elaborate version. It is called Parameshwara Samhita, which is being followed at Srirangam in Tamil Nadu. The Jayakhi Samhita has its exposition in the Padma Samhita, which is followed at Kanchi, where Lord Varadaraja is presiding deity. And why is it called Jaya? Jayarthamapi Bhaktanam హితార్థమపిచ ఆత్మనః అనుష్టుప్ ఛందో బద్ధేన సారాత్ సారతయ శుభా. The word jaya means victory. It brings in victory, success in the spiritual life to those who follow it. That is why it is called jaya. That is the meaning you can get. But here, the Jayakya Samhita has a very peculiar position. It neither entirely belongs to the Pancharatra tradition, nor to the Vaikhansa tradition. Because if you see, the names are used here. The Yayakya speaks of Bhagavan as coming out first as Achyuta, then as Satya, and then Purusha, who is also called Ananta. It is from the Ananta that all the Vibhavas, incarnations like Rama and Krishna, take place. Now, it is difficult to reconcile Achyuta, Satya and Purusha with the well-known vyuhas in Pancharatra called Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and the different names are used. Nor can we affiliate it to the Vaikhansa because the Agama omits Aniruddha, who is mentioned there. That's why critics are of the opinion that this Agama may suggest an early date from which both the Vaikhansa and the Pancharatras borrowed their own nomenclature. So with this, I now request Professor Gavin to take over and then...
Thank you very much. Thank you. Very interesting. The Jayakya is a text which has interested me for a number of years, and it seems to be very parallel to the Shaiva text that I've looked at in the past. And but whereas in the Shaiva Siddhanta you have a very strong commentarial tradition on the text, in the Pancharatra there's very little commentary, and there's no commentary on the Jayakya as far as I know, or perhaps there is, but no, there is none. And yet it's one of the central texts of the tradition. So I've always been puzzled by that and thought that was very interesting. But perhaps we can discuss that towards the end. One of the interesting features of the text is that the Jayakya is a very complete text, it seems to me, because it has a description of cosmology. It explains how the universe came into being, as it were, as it is, and it explains how to practice in order to gain liberation. But not only that, it contains social kind of rituals as well, funerals and this kind of thing. So it's a very complete festivals, and it's a very complete sort of text in itself. And it also links in the cosmology with the ritual practice, very closely integrated together. And you really can't understand one without the other. So you can't understand the ritual without understanding the cosmology. And arguably, the cosmology has to be understood in a ritual context, although there are different views on this. André Padou, who's a Shaiva expert on Shaivism in France, has written on the Jayakya. He thinks that you can understand the cosmology quite independently of the sadhana, of the practice. And it functions as a sort of explanation within the text, explanation of the world. The cosmology is there are three different versions of cosmology presented in the text. Generally, in Pancharatra, you have a pure cosmology, a pure cosmos, a Shuddha Sarga. You get a mixed creation and an impure creation. Those three levels, and they don't map, as far as I can see, they don't map directly onto the text itself. Here, we have a pure creation, an account of the pure creation. We have an account of the Pradhanika Sarga, the manifestation from matter, and the Brahma Sarga we have, which and I've never quite sure where we can discuss this, how they are all completely related together. But if we start with the pure creation, the Shuddha Sarga, the account of that in the text, I've actually got a handout, but I've left it next door. So let me go and I'll get the handout for you. Excuse me. So there's a relation between the concept of the body and the idea of the cosmos in this text, which I think is very interesting and we should think about. First of all, you have Supreme Vasudeva. This was a handout that's coming around, which will describe some of what I'm going to talk about. Whose nature is consciousness, Chidrupa, Paravasudeva, who's partless, who's bereft of all upadis, who's bereft of all divisions and all distinctions, who is also without will or without desire. So he is the transcendent Vasudeva, the transcendent Lord, who is beyond all qualities, who is beyond language, really, outside of language. So you have that being described in the text, with these various adjectives applied to him. And then you have the text speaks of the body of Vasudeva as comprising three forms, para, shukshma, and stula, which are used in visualization. And my understanding, my interpretation of the text seems to be that these correspond to the body of the universe. So as in Ramanuja's understanding, you have that the universe is the body of God. So here in the Jayakya, you get the same idea, that the body is the universe of God. So this body, is related to, these three levels, the Shuddha Sarga, the pure creation, the Pradhaniga Sarga, and the Brahma Sarga. And perhaps we can look at the relation of those presently. But within the Shuddha Sarga, you get these emanations. The Lord emanates in various forms. So the text presents an emanationist cosmology in which lower forms emerge from the higher and are impure reflections of the higher. So it's like a Samkhya system in a way. It's a sort of Parinama Vada, a sort of a transformation of the same of a single substance. Now, as Professor Narasinghachari was saying, the vyuhas, the emanations, are not some Karshana and Pradyumna and so on as in other texts, but here they're called Achyuta, Satya, and Purusha, which are Vaikarnasa deities. So there's obviously a close relation between the Vaikarnasa tradition and the Pancharatra and the Jayakya. The term Vyuha is used in the text, but it's not used that much, if I recall. Now, the term Vyuha itself is interesting. Why should that term be used? I don't know if it's earliest occurrence, but it's certainly used in Buddhism and the Sukhavati Vyuha and so on. So I'm wondering if there's some relation, some connection, some influence from this onto the Buddhism or vice versa. I don't know, in the use of that term, Vyuha. So it's a very wonderful description of the cosmology, the way Satya is... I can't remember the sequence now. Satya is a fragment of light from Achyuta, and Purusha is like a bubble on the ocean of Satya that comes up, bubbles up to the surface. So you get the idea that each lower universe is a more restricted version of the one above it, although we live in a massive universe, this is just a small bubble compared to the universe in which this universe exists, as it were. So you get universes within universes, like Chinese dolls or something, within this in this cosmology. So Achyuta is the first manifestation from Vasudeva, then Satya emanates from him and Purusha emanates from him. And that account is given in the chapter 4 of the text. The mixed creation, or the Pradhanika, I'm not sure if it doesn't use the word mixed creation, but the next chapter describes the Pradhanika Sarga, the emanation from primordial matter. And it follows the Samkhya system that Buddhi or Mahat, the Great One, emerges from Pradhana, and then all the other tattvas emerge out from Buddhi. And it's the will of God that sets these things in motion. So as with the Samkhya, it's sort of an automatic process, as it were, but here it's the Lord's will acts upon it. Although the Lord himself is described as desireless, he nevertheless must in some sense desire the universe to evolve. So he causes the universe to evolve as his will, the lower universe to evolve. Now, what's interesting about this and it, as in all the tattvas in these traditions, is that the tattvas are both levels of the universe and also psychological categories of the human person. So there's a correspondence or a homology, if you like, between the human person and the cosmos. And that's particularly important when it comes to ritual procedures, as we'll see. And finally, you get the pure, the Shuddha, you get Brahma creation, which is a description of the lower or primary creation, which is very mythological in its account. It talks about Brahma rising out of the lotus of Vishnu's navel, being four-faced and so on. So you get a sort of a narrative mythological account along with a more abstract Samkhya-type account of evolution. And that's a very interesting feature of the text. Now, moving on quickly, this cosmology is related to practice, the sadhana. And the sadhana, the cosmology which you find in the Jayakya, is actually, the structure is the same as in Shaiva traditions as well. So you have a fundamental, common, or shared account of practice in this text. So I'm going to hand round, I don't want to read the whole thing, but there's a quote there that I didn't have time to type out separately, so I'm just giving it to you there. Chapters 12 to 13 of the text are about ritual, and there's the inner worship, first of all, followed by external worship. And inner worship comprises... the other way around. That's right. Yeah, Bahir Yaga followed by Antar Yaga. And the aim is the realization of one's self as having Brahman as your inner controller, as your Antaryamin, or Vasudeva as your inner controller. And part of the practice is the Bhuta Shuddhi, the purification of the elements of the body. And this is pervades the Shaiva text as well, but it's interesting here. I think this is the earliest formulation of the Bhuta Shuddhi in the literature, as far as I'm aware, because it's a very elaborate visualization of the elements which are identified with different levels of the body, and you dissolve the elements through mantra from the soles of the feet to the knees, so the knees to the hips to the navel to the heart to the throat to the crown of the head. So you destroy the body in your imagination, which is then burned to a pile of ashes in your imagination. And then the floods of your mantra, the water from your mantra recitation, washes the ashes away. And then you can construct a divine body through mantra, through imposing mantras upon the body, through nyasa. Because only a god can worship a god in these traditions. The purification of the body followed by the recreation of a divine body, a divya deha, through imposing mantras upon it. Then follows the inner worship of the Lord, which is visualization of Narayana above the crown of the head. You construct a throne in your heart, and you bring him down into the throne. And the throne itself is fascinating because it's made up of different different supports. So different supports from the Samkhya system and the Vedas. So actually, on the handout that you've got in the section two, you've got the structure of the visualization in the inner worship. So you've got the earth goddess Adhara Shakti located in the sex organ. She's identified with the bhutas, the elements. Then you've got Kalagni above her in your visualization, associated with the tantras and so on. This is my reading, so I think I've got it right, but I may be slightly wrong in some details. And then at the navel, you have the Milky Ocean. Out from the Milky Ocean grows the lotus, identified with the Ahankara. Then you have the supports of the throne, the eight dispositions, which are part of Buddhi in the Samkhya system, the four Vedas and the four Yugas. And then on the throne, you have three orbs, as far as I can see, and then Garuda and Varaha, and then Vishnu, you visualize as coming down into the throne and is seated upon it. And that's your inner. Then you worship Narayana in your heart, seated upon the throne in your imagination. having done that, you then follow as external worship, where you offer incense and flowers to an external form of Narayana. And the purpose of these two parts, these two processes, is the realization of yourself, but it also says that the inner worship gets rid of certain kind of karma, and the outer worship gets rid of other kinds of karma done with the body. So, but what's interesting, and the point I like to emphasize, is that the ritual structure corresponds very closely to the cosmological, to the cosmology, and that one is mapped onto the other. So through purifying the body, you're purifying the self, and the journey and the evolution of the universe from the top to the bottom to the lower tattvas is reversed in the ritual process, whereby the lower tattvas are absorbed in the body up to the crown of the head. So the body becomes an analogue for the universe. And you could say, as a sort of more interpretative spin on this, is that the body is intextualized in certain ways. The text, the sacred text, is mapped onto the body, and purification occurs and liberation occurs through this intextualization, through the internalization of the text in the self. On which note, I'll pass this over to Professor Narasimha Chari to speak about the philosophy for the last 5 minutes.
Thank you, Professor. Of course, I've been so longish in my speech.
Oh, it's okay, isn't it?
Now, regarding the philosophy, it must be kept in mind that the great acharyas of the Sri Vaishnava tradition were inspired by the agamas to frame their own philosophical concepts. And according to our text on hand, Brahman's swarupa, the essential form, is composed of mantras. Mantra, you know, is a mystic syllable, a kind of formula which, when repeated, will protect you. Mananati trayate iti mantra. So all the mantras have the capacity to protect you from all that is evil. And the Lord himself is said to have this mantra as his very form. That is called swarupa. And insofar as his swabhava, or natural characteristics, are concerned, his chief traits are concerned, he is creating the universe, sustaining it and dissolving it. So swabhava is slightly different from the swarupa. That is what it appears. But as a matter of fact, the swarupa and swabhava are not two different things. In the Vishnu Purana, we have a well-known passage. Jnana, Shakti, Bala, Aishwarya, Virya, Tejamsi, Aseshataha, Bhagavat Chabdavachyani. The six perfections of the Lord, called Jnana, Shakti, Bala, Aishwarya, and Virya, Tejas, are same as the Lord himself. Bhagavat Chabdavachyani, Vina, Heyaihi, Gunadibihi. Bereft of all the bad or evil attributes, the Lord is full of perfections, and those perfections themselves are called Bhagavan. What does it mean? There is no difference between the Lord and his names. Nama and Nami are not two different entities. And then what exactly is the means of liberation? The kind of worship that has been practiced or prescribed here, and which our professor has very beautifully and then briefly summarized to you, like the after the Bhuta Shuddhi, after creating a new mantra body within yourself, then you have to offer your worship. Only then you are entitled to worship. According to the agamas, nobody is entitled to worship the Lord either at home or in the temple without this purification ceremony. You have to make yourself pure, and this is the method prescribed. Then what happens is you will become one with the Lord. It's called Brahma Samapatti, Sat Brahma Samapatti. Or it is called Brahma Samsakti, becoming one with Brahman. Here we must keep in mind that this unity with the Lord is not the one that is taught by Shankara's Advaita Vedanta. There you become one, Aham Brahmasmi. Here also we speak of what is called Ahangraha Upasana. Ramana here speaks of meditating upon yourself as Aham, Aham Vishnuhu, Aham Brahma. How is it possible? Because the Lord, he is there in me as the Antaryami. And hence he is called Aham. This is the way in which the meditation has to be carried out, and this will take you to the Lord. It's not becoming one with or merging in the Lord, losing your identity. That is not at all the kind of moksha described in the Sri Vaishnava tradition or any Vaishnava school for that matter. Because Upanishad says, Paramam Samyam Upaiti. Samya, the highest orders, utmost similarity what the jiva gets after liberation. He doesn't become one with the Lord. And the Upasanas described are prescribed in the Upanishads are also found here. Upasana on the Brahman with the help of mantra alone is a means of salvation. This is what is called Brahma Abhinnam Jnanam, the knowledge that you are not different from the Lord because He is your Antaryami. This is what is called Aparoksha Jnana, a direct knowledge. This can be obtained through yoga. So this is what actually the means of liberation is concerned in the Vaishnava Agamas. And in this particular Agama, I must point out that temple building and image worship are not given that kind of prominence as is given in other Pancharatra texts. If you read any other Agama, chapters and chapters and chapters are there describing the Utsavas, elaborate rituals. Nityotsava, Masotsava, Pakshotsava, there is no end at all. As I said earlier, 433 festivals in Tirupati temple. So all the Pancharatra Agamas are highlighting upon that aspect, but peculiarly enough, this is one of the earliest Agamas of the Pancharatra tradition, Jayakya, is not that elaborate on this particular practice of building temples or worshipping images. And in fine, I would like to point out that, as Professor has rightly observed, these texts have not been commented upon traditionally by anybody. Why even Agama Pramanya of Vyamanacharya, because which is supposed to be a very powerful defense against the onslaught of Shankara and the Mimamsakas, has not been commented upon by anybody. Though passages are quoted extensively from it by other later writers like Vedanta Desika, I tried my hand to give a regular commentary on that, and my guru Dr. Rahman said, please wait. I don't know why he said so. I think that time is ripe now to attempt that way. And I am told that recently Kashchana Swami Karnataka Kshetrat Agama Pramanyasya Vyakhyanam Rachatavaniti Sutammaya. So one gentleman from Karnataka has translated and commented upon Yamuna's Agama Pramanya. So it is time that scholars take this into consideration as a serious matter and expound. But for Sattva Samhita, there is a Vyakhyana commentary. One Arhiya Singha or Arhiya Singha Bhatta have given a beautiful commentary upon the Sattva Samhita, one of the Ratnatrayas. So I hope somebody will open the door that way and then make the contents more legible and clear to many of us. And with these words, I now hand over to Professor Gavin Flagg for his concluding remarks.
Well, thank you, Professor Asimachari. Well, I hope today that we've given you some idea of this text and its place in the tradition, and described some of the contents for you, and raised some of the features of the text, which are also an index of the tradition generally, and features which are absent, perhaps, from many traditions, religions in the West. This idea of cosmology is extremely important, and the way cosmology is mapped onto the body. And those ideas are generally absent from Western traditions, although not completely. I gave a handout earlier on about a quote. I'd just like to draw your attention to it, in the sense that this is a very elaborate visualization of how you purify the body in the Bhuta Shuddhi. And the practitioners, you visualize a quadrangular yellow earth marked with the sign of thunder, I'm not sure what that is, marked with, connected with five sounds, etc. And it's filled with trees and mountains, adorned with oceans, islands, good rivers, and walled towns. Now that's very interesting, that it's a very elaborate visualization, and that the tradition seems to get simpler as it goes through time. But at the beginning of the tradition, you have a very ornate, very elaborate visualizations being described. And that these visualizations connect your inward self, your interiority, with the wider universe around you. And so let's open it up to questions and discussion.
And one more point I wish to state here is, this is a living tradition.
Ah, yes, it's a living tradition.
In South India, many Vaishnavas, they follow this tradition. And most of the Vaishnava mathas, the mathadipatis, have this Panchakala Puja, Panchakala Pratriya. So the Upadana, Jyaswadhyaya Yoga, Abhigamana, all these are carried out systematically there. Even at home, an orthodox Vaishnava has this kind of division of his work. The time is divided into these units, but of course now you know the constraints of time are there. People go out for their livelihood, those who go to the offices, and they won't be able to do all this, but still at least a few steps they will take up. Then morning, of course, Abhigamana is there, Upadana is there, Swadhyaya won't be there because they'll have their office work. Then Idhya is there. Again, evening only they'll be able to spare some time. After 6 or 7, they gather young students and then go on teaching. They're like Sribhashya, the meaning of the Alvas, the Diya Prabandha. That work goes on even now. So some way this tradition is still maintained. That is what I want to say. Now, we are open to questions, any clarifications?
If we technically supposed to stop at 2, but if we carry on, so if you have to go, please don't worry, but we can carry on.
You
mentioned something about the Kaima.
I
didn't quite.
It is believed that there was what is called Ekayana Veda. That became the source of all the Vedic literature. Mahataha Veda Vrukshasya Mulabhutaha Mahanayam. Ekayana Veda is Mahan Veda Vrukshasya Mulabhutaha. This is what it is said. We don't know what the Ekayana Veda was like. But the Kashmiran writer, Utpala Vaishnava, quotes passages from the Pancharatra. He says Pancharatra Shruti, Pancharatra Sam, Upanishad, he says. So he's equated to Upanishads themselves.
He quotes the Jayakula itself.
Yeah, that's right.
Panchakala prakriya yatha pancharatre vartate tatheva vaikhana sagame
gvi vartate. Nasti.
Nasti.
Nasti. Tatra vastutah pancharatra అనుసారిభి పంచ సంస్కారాః స్వీక్రియంతే పాంచరాత్రికైః తాపః పుండ్రః తథా నామ మంత్రో యాగశ్చ పంచమః ఇతి పంచ సంస్కార దీక్షా విహితా వర్తతే పాంచరాత్రికైః కింతు ఏషా దీక్షా నాపేక్షితే వైఖానసైః యతః తే జన్మతః శుద్ధాః ఇతి కృత్వా గర్భే యథా తే స్థితాః తదేవ చక్రాంకనమాసీత్ ఇతి గర్భే సంస్కారః తేషాం తస్మాత్ వైఖానసానాం విషయే యశా ప్రక్రియ నంగచ్చతి. He answered the question about the same Panchakala Prakriya, you know, the dividing the day into 5 units, is it obtaining in the Vaikarsa tradition? I said no. And there's a peculiar and it is very strange that in the Pancharatra tradition we have got what is called Pancha Samskaras, 5 important sacraments. They're called tapa. You go to your teacher and then he'll, with heated emblems of Lord Vishnu's eyes as Shankha and Chakra, he'll brand your shoulders. Oh! Terrible it will be sometimes. It's called tapa. Then pundra. Pundra is giving a caste mark. Tatha nama. The suffix will be Narasimhacharya dasaha abhivade. The word dasa will come at the end. It's called nama. Mantra is given by him. Mantra is ashtakshri. 8-syllabled name of the Lord, and then mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. Dvaya mantra, Sriman Narayana Charano Sharanam Prabhadye Srimate Narayanaya Namaha. Charma Shloka, the 66th verse of the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Parityajya. These are the mantras that are given by the teacher at that time. And then Yaga, a small Homa will be performed. So these are the 5 samskaras which the Pancharatrins undergo. But this tradition is not obtaining in the Vaikarnasas because, no, even by birth we are sanctified. We don't require these sacraments. Even when the child is in the mother's womb, it is purified because we are born in the great tradition of Vaikarnasas. Because Vikhanas, the great sage, is a Vedic sage, glorified in the Vedas. And hence we are his offspring. We don't require all these sacraments. That is their contention. God knows you too. But there is this tradition they have.
And the mantras in the text are not in the Jayakya, are not found elsewhere. They're not Vaidika mantras. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, both Vaidika and Tantric mantras, Pancharatrins use both.
Use both.
Yeah. Whereas the Vaikhanasas use only Vaidika mantras. The Tantric mantras have been necessitated because, you know, a number of people, according to the Pancharatra, is more cosmopolitan in nature, I should say. It caters to needs of everybody. Striyaha, Vaishyaha, Tatha Shudraha, is what the Mahabharata says. If you have the special diksha from the spiritual teacher, you are entitled to worship the Lord. Of course, not in the temple, but at home. This has been sanctioned by the Pancharatra tradition. But this is not so. It is restricted. Puja cannot be done by each and everybody according to their tradition. According to their practice, only a person who is married and who has children and a family is eligible to worship the Lord in the temple. That is Vaikhanasa tradition. But the Pancharatra is not like that. Anybody who is eligible can worship. The present government in Tamil Nadu, DMK, as we call it, Dravida Munnetra, they have liberalized everything. Anybody can worship any deity in any temple. Finish. They are passing the registration. Because they think there is all the domination of the so-called upper caste of, I mean, society. So anybody, we will give them some training and they can worship any temple anywhere, Tamil Nadu.
Doesn't actually happen.
It's happening, sir. It's happening. Yeah. Terrible, disastrous.
Can they go into the sanctum?
That's what is it?
And get the priests out?
That's what they're doing. Using the senior priests out and then bringing the exodus young people, new faces. They don't know anything at all. They're given some training, 1 month training, how to worship, finish, then go and do two. The pujas can be done in the local language called Tamil. There is another terrible blow. When you say, Om Narayanaya Namaha, they say, Narayanane Potri. The Tamil expression. What is Potri? Hail. This is what it means in Tamil. Hail, O Narayana. But that's the meaning of Namaha. The word Namaha doesn't mean that. The sanctity of the mantra is spoiled by these people. Temples have become...
So
that you won't feel like going to the temple at all. That's what they want to do. Because there are atheists. They don't believe in the existence of God. Therefore, slowly dissuading people from going to the temple. Because all sorts of people come there. Why should you go to the temple? And as we worship him as Antaryaga is there, why should you go for the Bahiryaga? So if we will be happy to worship the Lord in your own heart, in your own house, is what is happening. Very unfortunate indeed.
Is there any friction between the Vaikhanasa and Pancharatra tradition?
Actually, there have been some difference of opinion. Because some of the Vaikhanasa texts go on blaming the Pancharatrins. And these texts, vice versa, it happens. And Vedanta Deshika has in his Pancharatra Raksha given a very beautiful statement. All these people who go on condemning others are unfit, have been interpolated passages. These passages were not there in the original text. Prakshiptaha bhagaha bhagaha aptante. Pancharatrikaihi Vaikhanasaha Dushyante Evam Vaikhanasaihi Pancharatrikaha Api Agamesh Drishyante Bahavaha Panktayaha Yatadrishya Vaktante Tassamaya Sandarbham Anusritya Vedantesikaha Vadati Ete Sarvevi Prakshiptaha Pathaha Kejitu Adar Paraspara Kolahalam Kartukamaha Yavartante Taihi Evam Vireshitaha Vosudasudya Nasanti Mula Granteshu Iti Teshama Vipraya. Some are interpolated passages. Deliberately they have interpreted so that they can bring a rift between, create a rift between these two groups, which otherwise are very friendly. Yeah.
Can I say this about the Puranas? That the Bhagavata, in the end of the Bhagavata, it says it's constructed on the basis of the Vaidika and Tantrika traditions. Could you maybe talk a little bit about how the Puranas in general, and specifically the Bhagavata, incorporate...
Nothing wrong in that. Because it's only Purana. Bhagavata Purana, of course, is dated about 10th century or 9th century, according to critics. It was not quoted by either Ramanuja or Shankaracharya. It must have come a bit late. But of course, it was quoted by Vedanta Deshika and Madhvacharya. So they adopt the Pancharatra and the Vaikhanasa technique. Nothing wrong in that. But we are speaking of the admixture of the Pancharatra and the Vaikhanasa traditions. There is a hard and fast rule. If you are a Pancharatran and you are worshipping a temple according to Pancharatra tradition, you cannot bring in the Vaikhanasa system here. Vice versa. You cannot take the Vaikhanasa tradition to the Pancharatra temple or the Pancharatra tradition to the Vaikhanasa temple. That is disastrous, they say. The state will be in ruins. And Ramanuja, when he took over the administration of all the temples, he made a statement, let there be no admixture of the samskaras. I mean, let there be no sankarya of the sampradayas, no admixture of the traditions. That's why still the Vaishnavas pay a great tribute to him. Ramanujarya divyajna vardhatam abhivardhatam. Rama divyajna, divine command he issued. Let there be no admixture of the traditions. The pancharatrins, the pancharatrins. But go on carrying your worship as you like, according to your own tradition. Let there be no fight on this issue. Great traditions.
And in some tantric Shaiva traditions, you can be initiated in several. You can be Shaiva tradition, initiated in one tradition and then in another. Could you be, say, born in a Vaikhanasa tradition and be kind of
converted into? What do you mean? It all depends upon the tradition. I don't know to what extent it is possible, because you have to go to your guru. Your guru will tell you what is right for you. You are born in a tradition, naturally you have to honor the tradition. I want to shift to some other tradition, if you say that. But maybe may not.
Could you be both?
It can be both. Okay. Yeah, this or that.
You can't, or you can?
Yeah,
you can't.
Yeah. You can't be a worshipper in the Archaka in the Vaikhanasa temple and again come to the Pancharatra, is not allowed. Or be a worshipper of Shakti or Shiva, then come back to Pancharatra. No, that's not. It's called Sankarya, admixture, which is not desirable.
But presumably, each tradition regards itself as a higher truth than the other tradition.
That's quite natural. There is in Mimamsa what is called a Nahi Ninda Nyaya. Shabaraswami, the great commentator on Jaimini, says, Nahi ninda nindiyam ninditum pravartate apitu ninditat itarat prashamsitum. If you are praising something, it doesn't mean that you are blaming others. Mm-hmm. My idea is just to praise him. When I want to see Janardhan is very bright, it doesn't mean that Abhishek is not. For the time being, I just want to say this much.
Yes.
Because the Vedas are said to be the source of our tradition. But in the Mahabharata, it is said, Mahabharata is weightier than the Vedas themselves. Now, is it not a demonstration of the Vedic tradition? Chatvaraha yekato vedaha bharatancha yekamagrataha samagataihi surashubhi tulaya arupitantara mahatvacha gurutvacha dhyamanam yadaha adhikam mahatvacha gurutvacha mahabharata muchite. Mahabharata is superior even to the Veda, it says. Now, the Yamanacharya has discussed this point in the Agama Prana. When it is said like that, it doesn't mean that Bharata is superior to Vedas, that there is no Vedic denunciation. The idea is just to praise the Mahabharata, that's all. This is called Nahi Ninda Nyaya, the maxim of interpretation as given by Shabaraswami. So, this is what is.
Kripal, what's your
question? I was just curious about the Sanghitas. Are the Sanghitas all part of Pancharatra?
What samhitas you mean? Some of the agamas are known as tantras, some are samhitas. There's only difference in name only, that's all. Parama Samhita, for example, is one of the Pancharatra texts. Lakshmi Tantra it is called. See? It doesn't mean anything. As I said earlier, tantra means that which spreads your knowledge, that which protects you. Samhita, the word indicates that it is very closely affiliated to the Vedic tradition. It's all Vedic in character. Yeah, it is the name given to a particular text, Paramasamhita. We don't call it Paramatantra. Somehow the name has come that way for us. So Paramasamhita means the text called Parama, that's all. Like Lakshmi Tantra, the Tantra called Lakshmi, based upon Lakshmi's teachings. So certain names have come down to us that way and they are still maintained.
Well, thank you, Rasa Narasimha Acharya. It's really very interesting. I think we need to wind up now.
Yeah.
And thank Professor Narasimhacharya very much for his presence here during the term as well as today's exhibition of the Jayakya Sanghita. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.